AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Good to be with you. Matt and Patrick here. Patrick, a lot to get to. Stein will join us here at the bottom of the hour with his usual weekly visit. We'll talk national politics with him. But and I'm going to get to what happened last night because that was a travesty. I'll get to that, though, in a second. But I did get out for a walk today. I'm going to screw up the name of this place. One second here. It's a state nature area out in, this is out in kind of in, just north of Long Lake, Wolfsfeld Woods Scenic Area. It's a state nature area. It is spectacular, really pretty, lots of trees, and wildly damp. We actually ended up having to cut our walk short because we were just filthy. The trails, half the trails were kind of underwater, and it was manicured. It wasn't like it was kind of like overgrown. It just is. I think there's just so much water there, and it's just so damp. And plus the fact that when you get those trees, you get the trees holding everything in, the water down to the ground, it becomes ugh. So needless to say, it's beautiful. I'll post some pictures up about that a little bit later on. And Patrick, we of course we want to salute the graduates. I want to let people know about some programming notes we've got coming up here as far as graduation. Do you remember who is the speaker at your graduation?
I actually don't. It was not very well known. He was an author, and I think our biggest takeaway of it was a lot of it was kind of self-centered. I think that was kind of our takeaway, was a lot of his speech was a little bit about, here's this quote that I made that I'm going to read to you.
Oh, I can beat that. My son had a baseball banquet. I'm not going to send when, but, and as usual, what they usually do with the baseball banquet is they bring in the keynote speaker as someone who either has been a coach for a long time or have played up levels, and that's who we had talked to. They had a guy came in, I think he got up to double-A ball, and he talked about, the kind of the bitterness and anger that he had. Because he says, I remember the day I threw the best pitch I've ever thrown in my life, and the guy parked it out in the parking lot beyond left field fence. And he realized, he said, and when I got cut, it was the worst feeling in the world, and why did I even go through all this? And is this going to turn positive, or is it going to be like an entire low album? And it just kept going, and at the end of the day, he's like, well, just make sure you have a backup plan. And that was literally his entire speech. Just, hey, make sure you don't bank everything on your hopes and dreams.
Very motivational.
It was. We, of course, came across a little problem. Now, and I want to, we've had actually some people send congratulations and well wishes to my son, Charlie, who is, of course, a graduate of Hopkins High School this year. And yeah, it's a little tough because, it's not, there's not going to be any graduations for him or, any of the 2020 kids. And so we kind of started having a little bit of a brainstorm here about how we could help out, because as we said, we are an old school technology. And there's a tendency to point to new school technology and say, well, yeah, we'll just do it on the internet. The problem is that as much as some people have a hard time understanding this, a lot of people still do not have a regular at-home, whether that's a phone or a computer, or don't have reliable internet. And that's even in the city. That's even in the city. And sometimes we like to think that, oh, well, it's not that big of a problem. Actually, it is. And when it comes to a graduation, you're out in a rural school district. You have 40 kids graduating. You can probably do it in the parking lot of the movie theater or something like that. You're going to have enough, space out there. When you have 500 kids or 600 kids or 800 kids all graduating, you can't, there's, back when the road north of Washington Avenue in Minneapolis was all parking lots, that wouldn't even be enough for all the cars. So we came up with an idea that we are going to do. They're going to do a graduation on air here. Now, and once again, I want to be very clear here, because I know there are some people that just that will immediately say, well, it's going to be political. No. we, outside of the legal confines of us airing our ID, which we have to do, the FCC says at the top of the hour we have to go KTNF in St. Paul or St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul. That's, we have to put out our call letters and the city of broadcast plus any adjacent cities. But we do that at the top of the hour. Outside of that, the entire rest of these broadcasts is just going to be about the individual schools. We got one coming up on Sunday for Edina High School is going to do theirs a week from Thursday, a week from tomorrow. I believe it's going to be Hopkins High School is going to do theirs. And it's really a good way to do it because, once again, a lot of these schools have – the technology has already been confiscated. You know, we are – if you are online, you will be able to listen to this online. We do broadcast online, so you will be able to listen to this. But you can also just turn on an AM radio. And there you go. You'll have the graduation ceremony. So it's something we're going to be doing here. I just, because it is a little bit, you know, not usual for us to kind of break programming like that, I just want to make sure we give you the heads up on it. And I think the last time I think we did anything this kind of different from our programming is, if I can remember correctly, when I first started here, I think we were airing Gopher women's basketball games if like every other station was taken. Was on air, was covering something else. I think we actually aired a few women's basketball games back when for the Gophers. So we don't generally do this, but I want to give you a heads up because we got this coming up on Sunday. It's going to be next Thursday. If any other, you know, grad schools want to try to do something, by all means, we can try to help you out as well. But it's kind of about trying to help these kids and give them some sort of graduation as we head into the summer. 952-946-6205. I do have to talk about last night because I'm going to be honest with you. What happened last night disturbs me greatly. Now I'll start off with the latest Mayor Jacob Fry calling for Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman to file criminal charges against the arresting officer in the death of George Floyd. I've wrestled more than anything else over the last 36 hours with one fundamental question. Why is the man who killed George Floyd not in jail? Fry said in an opening statement, if you had done it or I had done it, we would be behind bars right now. I cannot come up with a good answer for that question. Floyd died in the hospital. No, he was declared dead at the hospital. I posted yesterday the EMT broadcast that they were saying that when they got there, he was already in full cardiac arrest. He was dead when they got there. He died on the streets outside of Cup Foods. That's where he died. He was detained by Minneapolis police officers near the intersection of 38th Street and Chicago Avenue South on Monday night. The video taken by a bystander showed one of the officers, now identified as Derek Chauvin, I think C-H-A-U-V-I-N, I've heard it pronounced a few different ways, pinning Floyd to the ground and pressing his knee to his neck as Floyd repeatedly says, I can't breathe. We cannot turn a blind eye, Fry said. It's on us as leaders to see this for what it is and call it what it is. George Floyd deserves justice. After Floyd loses consciousness, Chauvin continues to press on his neck. None of the other officers on the scene attempted to check the pulse until the ambulance arrived. Despite bystanders' pleas, Floyd later died. Once again, he died on the street. He was declared dead at Hennepin County Medical Center a little bit later. We watched for five whole excruciating minutes as a white officer firmly pressed his knee into the neck of an unarmed, handcuffed black man. I saw no threat. I saw nothing that would signal that this kind of force was necessary. By the way, that particular technique that was used is not authorized by the Minneapolis Police Department. It's not something that officers are trained in, on, or should have ever used, period. The FBI, the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, are investigating Floyd's death. The four responding officers were all fired on Tuesday. He went on to apologize to the black community for what has happened. Last night, we all knew that there was going to be a lot of angry people, and understandably. Last night was a mess. And it was a mess. It wasn't until 7 o'clock last night where all of a sudden it was when Andy Mannix, who is a writer for the Star Tribune, posted, I was just shot with a rubber bullet. And the first thing I thought to myself is, okay, wait a minute here. Are they just wildly shooting into the crowd? Are they basically just, are they targeting journalists? What the heck's going on? And the more I watched last night, the more it became clear that protecting and serving the people of Minneapolis was never really on, it didn't, at least sure as heck didn't seem to be on the mind of the Minneapolis Police Department. What I saw last night would better be classified as a police department inserting themselves as the all-encompassing power over the city and saying, we are going to do whatever we want. There is no mayor. There is no city council. There is no elected politicians. We're the power. We're going to do what we want to do. That's what it sure as heck looked like. And you can say, oh, man, it's not that bad. Well, first of all, we have George Floyd killed. Repeatedly, I was seeing reports of zero warning from Minneapolis police on tear gas or anything like that, or the rubber bullets or anything like that. Zero in the way of warning the crowd that they're about to open fire on them. It doesn't sound like there was much in the way of communication between the police department and the city council and the mayor's office, that they were making decisions on their own. That's what it at least sounds like. They clearly seem to be firing indiscriminately into the crowd. I want to point out one individual. There's a video on my Twitter feed, which you've got to see. I can't comprehend this. It's outside the third precinct last night. And these people are telling this officer, do not shoot this individual. Do not shoot this individual. And of course, the Minneapolis police in full gear lined up around the precinct like the Gestapo. And hey, you don't want me making the comparison? Then don't cosplay it, okay? You look like the freaking Gestapo up there. One police officer, as this individual is screaming, don't shoot them, don't shoot them, just lifts up his gun. It's a rubber bullet gun. And at a distance of, I'm going to say about 20 feet, plants one right into the chest of the person who's not screaming at that officer, screaming at a different officer. Unprovoked, no warning, nothing. Just a bam, like it's some drunk guy in a duck blind trying to shoot down a mallard. Seriously, you got to see the video. And as a matter of fact, how in the world that guy still got a badge, I'd like to know. That guy should have been fired that night. Because you should not have police departments who treat a weapon that if that hits that person on the heart, it's going to kill them with such a level of blasé, such a, oh, I'm just going to shut you. It's not a freaking video game, you morons. It's not a video game. Multiple journalists, not only does Andy Emanix get hit, but Unicorn Riot points out that they feel as if they were clearly being targeted, which doesn't surprise me. Because what I think the new policy seems to be is that if you've got a camera, you're going to film us, well, fine, we're going to treat you as the enemy. And that seemed to be the policy last night. Now, this like I said, this was a debacle. Last night was a debacle because, it like I said, I don't think there was protecting and serving. There wasn't restoring order. There wasn't an attempt to restore trust. It was more the Minneapolis police. It felt like the Minneapolis police were just saying, how dare you fire four of our guys? How dare you do this? You say thank you and can I have another? That's all you say. And that's what it felt like. It felt like, oh, we'll show you who's really in charge. I really did. That's the way I walked away from that. As I watched the footage, I was like, my God, these people are just, this is not about caring about the citizens of Minneapolis. This is basically about them. We're in charge. You better learn your place. And that's what it seemed like. The other option that I keep coming back to, and I keep wondering, there seems to be a question on whether this officer, Siobhan, the whether or not he is the guy that was up with the union head for the Minneapolis police, Bob Kroll, on stage with him with Trump. It looks like him to a point, but it's not definitive. Someone's got to know if that's the guy up there, because you don't just go up on a stage with the president without turning in your name before you go up there.
I did see some news outlets, local news outlets, that said that was, in fact, not him.
That was not him. Which one? What news outlets said that?
This was Fox 9.
Fox 9. They said that it was not him. Okay. It looks like him. I will say it looks like him. But needless to say, the question I keep having is this one of Kroll's buddies? And, you know, he's just, you know, this whole display last night is don't you dare get out of line. One thing about Bob Kroll, if I can, I truly think Bob Kroll, the union head, is evil. I personally feel that Bob Kroll is evil. I really do. He's not stupid. Oh God, you know, he has masterfully worked his position into this power role that he's got. Not only is he the union head, he's got conservative politicians in the state who, let's just be honest, love the fact he's a white cop basically putting black people in their place. They love that. And they love him showing up at fundraisers and doing photo ops. They love him bringing up the media. Here's the white cop that keeps those minorities in line. They love that. And he plays them like a fiddle. They basically will bend over backwards and kiss his caboose if they get the opportunity to, because that sells in their districts. White cop keeping black people under control. That sells for conservative in this country. When it comes to the Democrats, it was, you know, Jacob Frey, the city council, his mentality is, I want a tank, and I want full body armor, and I want everyone in my police department to have a bazooka and all this stuff. And if you don't give me everything I want, you hate the cops. And that is his mentality. And he's like, hey, conservatives, they hate the cops because not everyone can get a bazooka. And of course, quickly, a lot of these conservative Republicans are like, well, what do you mean you can't give them a bazooka? Everyone should have a bazooka. Bazooka, bazooka, bazooka. You know, that's just the way this is. So Bob Kroll has played his role very, very effectively to get him into a place of power that usually you don't see a union head get into, which then does present the real question. Who's in charge of the Minneapolis police right now? Who? Is it Bob Kroll? Is it the police chief? Is it Mayor Frey? Because I don't think the police chief and Mayor Frey have any say at all in the police department. I think the police department is Minneapolis police department, at least from my perspective, is a rogue agency doing what they want to do. And they don't care about elections or the will of the people. They will force their will on the people. Now, I think that if you're in the city of Minneapolis, maybe you should pass a law that says if you want to be a police officer in Minneapolis, you have to live within the city boundaries. We used to have laws like that, and some places still do. I would like to see that law in place, because I think that this idea of you know, far-right conservative cops who live out in areas where they don't interact with their community, driving on into what they're being told is a war zone every time they come into town, I don't think is doing us as a community any good. I just don't think it is. And so I think that if the city has the ability to say, you know what, if you want to work for the Minneapolis Police Department, you've got to live within the city boundaries, I think that would go a long way to cleaning up this problem. But needless to say, if I lived in the city of Minneapolis, I would have my house up for sale tomorrow. And you know why? It's because what the heck the police department did last night scared the hell out of me. And it should. It absolutely should. Because that looks like an authoritarian regime that basically does not care about the people. Because I can tell you one thing for sure last night. At no point did it seem like the Minneapolis police were trying to protect and serve the people of Minneapolis. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. We'll come on back. I got to get to the Minnesota update before we get to Jeff Stein. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
During this stay-at-home time, many of us are getting around to what needs doing at home. So how is your vacuum cleaner running? Is it time to get it repaired or maybe even replaced? Great news! A1 Vacuum in Roseville is open for curbside service. We're here from 10 until 2 Monday through Saturday. Give us a call at 651-222-6316 to place your order for curbside supplies, repairs, or replacements. Find more information and updates at a-1vacuum.com.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics. Zero Res understands that to prevent the spread of the coronavirus, the CDC recommends cleaning carpets and hard surfaces where we live and work. And that's what they do best. Their zero contact protocol means their technicians will wear gloves and shoe covers, disinfect all equipment between jobs, and exercise social distancing while cleaning and sanitizing your home. Right now, Zero Res is offering 20% off all surfaces to AM 950 listeners. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com and make sure you mention AM 950 to get 20% off.
Is your remote workforce putting your company at risk? Cyber criminals are targeting your employees with COVID-19 inspired emails and attacking businesses like yours. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. Rimark has the tools and expertise to enable your employees to work securely from home. If you need help getting your staff to work remotely and securely, call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com. That's 651-328-8900 or RimarkIT.com.
Gary and Josh, I'll hopefully have some time here at the end of the segment to talk to you guys, but unfortunately, I got a lot of stuff to get to today. Once again, the main story, obviously, Jacob Frey's latest comments and a reaction from last night. I got some photos, by the way, I'll share from a friend of mine that was down there that don't tell me that this was there's about protecting and surveys. The pictures are disturbing to see the heavy-handed nature of the police department last night. 33 more deaths, 510 additional confirmed COVID-19 cases were announced on Wednesday morning by state health officials. Brings the total number of known infections caused by the new coronavirus to 22,464. Do you know what the crazy part about coronavirus is? Is that when you compare, when you add together the number of people who have recovered from coronavirus, as well as the people who have passed away from coronavirus, it still leaves a million people in this country, a million people who are currently sick with coronavirus. A million people. That's nuts. There have been 932 deaths from the pandemic in Minnesota, including 759 among residents in nursing homes, assisted living facilities. Public health officials have been monitoring the number of cases that require hospital care for COVID-19 complications against the backdrop of increasing cases and the opening of venues that have been closed for a few weeks now. There are 598 in the hospital, an increase from 28 on Tuesday. Of those, 268 needed intensive care, up 2 from the previous day. Although, and once again, it should be mentioned that we are getting to the point where our initial standard occupancy of ICU units is almost overwhelmed. But as well, we should mention that the what you're looking at is a we have the ability to add on, but we already actually are tapping into those backup resources already in some areas. Although statewide intensive care bed use has hit a record highs recently, state health officials have said there's still capacity, including backup beds that will be available for the surge. And that's the good thing, is that that's what this really, this flattening of the curve was to get our backup systems in place. This level of ICU use has not been unexpected. Many of these hospitalized, as well as those who passed away, have been one or more health conditions to make it difficult for them to recover from the infection. While some people do need high-level medical care, about 80% of all cases result in mild infections in this. Governor Walz will take questions in the news media this afternoon. Obviously, there'll be more on that tonight on the newscast. Appointments could be required. Barbershops, salons, tattoo parlors will be allowed to reopen under the second phase of the state's Stay Safe plan on June 1st. Appointments would be required to anyone, and everyone will need to wear masks. That, I think, is the important element there. Restaurants would be able to open for outdoor dining, but gyms, entertainment venues, and large public gatherings would still not be allowed. Houses of worship, and I've got some points with the Archbishop Hebda as a Catholic. I watched his presentation. Now, first of all, don't do this whole thing of how dare you not allow us to reopen the churches, and then when the governor says, okay, fine, we're open, it's like, well, first of all, hey, whoever said we were angry at the governor, it's not like this, but the whole thing about you this. There is this fine dance that these people that want to reopen things want to do. And they want to basically, on one side, scream beforehand, open everything. And when the governor basically is conceding to them and, you know, giving them some wiggle room, the first thing they're saying is, well, that's because we opened everything. We didn't want you to come on in. And his Archbishop Hebda's message is interesting in the sense that his argument is, well, you know, if the church isn't ready, don't go. If you're elderly, don't go. And we're still going to obey social distancing. And he talks about the sacraments and that the church needs sacraments. Well, really, it's either, kind of a penance or a communion sacrament that we're only talking about. And are you going to be giving out communion? That would seem to me to go against the concept of, social distancing. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people, especially a lot of people who are against organized religion, who say the only reason these churches want to open up is because they want money in their donation plates. And the arguments they make about, well, wouldn't it be great if we were all in church together? No, not really. Well, we need to give people the sacraments. Well, really? Because that seems to be pretty dangerous. And right now on Sundays, my wife and I sit down and watch the pre-recorded sermon, service from our church. And we've been doing it. And do I miss taking, the communion? Of course I do. Absolutely. I miss going to my church. But I'm not crazy. And I just, that's one thing I don't appreciate the if you're going to be basically saying get into church, and then when the governor concedes your point, don't all of a sudden say, whoa, who wanted everyone back in church? Minnesota Chiropractic Practice said it has ways to help patients fight off COVID-19 infection. Not long after this new marketing campaign, its Attorney General Keith Ellison sent out a letter ordering the spine-adjusting business to stop advertising the coronavirus treatment or face a quick court action. Suspects, cures, and price gouging are in short supplies have become game of whack-a-mole for state and regulatory agencies and some businesses during the pandemic. From January 1st to May 18th, the Federal Trade Commission filed more than 28,000 COVID-19 fraud claims. The FTC consumer blog now carries warnings about text messages involving COVID-19 contact tracing, what you need to do if your nursing home or assisted living facility took your stimulus check. The wave of unethical, potentially criminal business strategy spills over to the private sector as well. 3M has filed 10 lawsuits trying to stop businesses from using its name to sell millions of overpriced, non-existent N95 masks. So, like I said, a lot to get to today. Gary, I'll have to talk to you on another day. Thanks for holding. When we do come on back, Jeff Stein will join us. We'll talk some national politics with him. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Even though these are challenging times, All Energy Solar is still committed to providing you a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system through their zero-contact protocol. Solar remains a great value and long-term investment, but some of the incentive programs will be expiring soon. All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process. They can evaluate your property by phone or webinar, and can even complete preliminary design work without visiting your home. So start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Hi, Alex of Better Futures Minnesota. Does your business or organization need janitorial services, lawn care, or snow services? Obtain a free, no-obligation estimate from Better Futures Minnesota when you mention that you heard about us on AM 950. Our supervised, hardworking, and affordable crews will handle your interior and exterior building and property maintenance needs while you help men in your community transform their lives and walk on a positive path to success. It's a win-win. To learn more, go to betterfuturesminnesota.com under business services.
At Rudy Luther Toyota, the health and safety of their customers and employees is the top priority. They continue to take extreme precautions to keep everyone safe. Like many businesses in Minnesota, Rudy Luther Toyota is starting to move forward. They have a huge selection of new and certified used Toyotas, and Toyota has announced 0% APR financing for up to 60 months for qualified buyers on several of their most popular models, like my favorite, the new RAV4. You can even take up to 90 days to make your first payment. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 west of Minneapolis, and online at rudyluther.com.
The independently owned Next Chapter Booksellers is still open and there to help you find just about any book imaginable. But did you know Next Chapter Booksellers sells more than just books? They also have a wide variety of cards and puzzles that are perfect for these times when we're stuck inside. They have free home delivery within St. Paul for orders over $50 and free mail shipments within the U.S. for orders over $50. Open daily by phone from 10 till 3, call 651-225-8989 or visit nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Did you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Make sure you stay with us. We got Pilot's Progressive Party coming up here at 5 o'clock. Democracy Now after me. Pilot comes up here at 5 right here on AM 950. Thank you very much to Joan in Buffalo, Michael in Beverly in St. Paul, Maxine in Minneapolis, Steve in Saugus, Mass., Daniel in Eden Prairie, John in South St. Paul, Nancy in Minneapolis, as well as also Catherine in Forest Grove, Oregon, Burton and Crystal and Shelley in St. Louis Park, all sponsoring AM 950. You can sponsor the radio station. Become a member. That's right. Become a member by going to am950radio.com. Click on the member page. You can either give a monthly donation or a one-time donation. And not only do you become a member, but you also get access to special members-only programming, including a brand-new interview we did with Michael Broadcorp, The Girls Are Gone, the latest updates from him. And also we revisited one of the classic interviews we did before as well. You can go visit both of those by becoming a member. Go to am950radio for more information about that. Jeff Stein's our national and progressive, national and political presidential expert. He's a noted author. You can find his books over at Next Chapter Books in St. Paul. TotallyIowa.com. The Iowa Business Report is his weekly show down in Iowa. And, of course, the Iowa Politics Report comes from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hey, Jeff.
You think you're going to get calls about threatening to move out of Minneapolis if you live there? Just call me a progressive and see how many people call to challenge that.
Yeah, we had someone call in and say, how dare you say this? I was like, dude, did you see what happened last night? I wouldn't want any part of that. You know, the last time I watched Fury Road, it didn't go much better if you weren't living in the bullet farm or anything like that. So I'm okay saying, you know what, maybe it's time to move out to the suburbs. That's just me. Now, you want to stay, and I get it. You guys got some issues to figure out in Minneapolis. I imagine, how is the George Floyd story playing out for you down there?
It's the kind of thing where, and again, I am an gradually becoming upper middle-aged white male. I have no idea what it would be like to be someone who is, in essence, arrested for driving while black. I would love to be able to look at some of these situations and say, race doesn't play a role. But, you know, it's hard to make that case. And that saddens me. It sickens me. And as far as, you know, just the rank and file person hearing about this, once you see the video, where's the defense? And you'd like to say, well, maybe there was something leading up to it. Well, there's no defense for being killed. Right.
I mean, exactly. There's a dead body. And once again, the EMTs, when they got to the scene, he was in full cardiac arrest. He was dead at that point. And right. There is no defense.
No. And that's the thing where at first, when you start hearing about a story like this, and obviously you're very close to it, but any of these similar stories, tragically similar, far too many similar stories, you say, OK, I wonder what led up to ... Well, I don't know what could possibly have led up to the action that we saw. There just doesn't appear to be anything. And it's one of these things where just when you sit back and say, well, it's 2020, we've got this covered. Well, no, we don't. No. We don't in any way, shape, manner, or form. And it's whether it's, people making statements, you know, politicians making statements, presidential candidates making statements and have us all go, you know, kind of, you know, putting our hands to our forehead, or whether it's something senseless like what is, if the video is to be believed, and how do you not believe it? I mean, if that situation is what it purports to be, oh, my goodness. You know, I mean, we are so far from getting things under control in this country. It's frightening.
I find more dishonest than, you know, the police union head coming out to scream, don't rush to judgment on the police officer, after the police officer clearly rushed to judgment on the victim. And I am like, okay, no, don't. This city is, and you want to know the truth, up here it's the problem that we have, Jeff, is this is becoming the norm because there is clearly a very different dynamic within that police department than I've ever seen in my life. And it just, I can't explain it. But last night, that wasn't about protecting and serving. I don't know what that was about, but that wasn't about protecting and serving the city of people in Minneapolis.
And that's the part where, and this is a very narrow response, so I want to be very careful with my words. When people say, let's not rush to judgment, okay, let's not rush to judgment until perhaps there's dash cam video, perhaps until there's audio. Because if, for example, one person went rogue and the others are saying, stop it, well, then that gives us some context as to the scope of it. But even in that situation, wouldn't you be pulling your fellow officer off the person?
Exactly.
So I get the concept of don't rush to judgment until you get everything. I do get that. And I'm not going to rush to final judgment. I'm willing to be persuaded otherwise. But what I see right now, until I see or hear something different, just is part of that continuing pattern. Mm-hmm. That we have seen in so many metropolitan areas, and you know, you've been through it in the cities.
Well, let's actually expand this out a little bit here, because all right, we have in Kentucky conservative protesters hang the governor in effigy outside the governor's mansion. Michigan, you've got armed to the teeth far right loon balls screaming about don't make us use these guns. You have Trump, who's one of his guys, Coy Griffin, an anti-lockdown activist who basically has said the only good Democrat is a dead Democrat. This is a new quote from him. This was an interview that he did with the Daily Beast. And the lieutenant governor in Idaho, I mean, talk about coded messages. She basically, because she disagrees with the governor, both of whom are, by the way, conservatives. The governor of Idaho basically has shut down the state, or is trying to, you know, shut down the state. The lieutenant governor has basically said, well, if he's dead, I become the governor and this all goes away. I mean, my God, talk about, you know, what you're really kind of hinting at here. And, but needless to say, you do have this. We are starting to come to a point where I think it's becoming clear that Trump is not necessarily the shoo-in that these people thought he was going to be to win another term. And this is starting to manifest itself in a very ugly light, because this isn't one state, one area. It's across the country, and conservatives seem to be ready to basically start, okay, if we have to start shooting people, we start shooting people.
And to a very large degree, this may be a somewhat inane statement. Not that you've ever heard those from me before, but I mean, to a large degree, these people are all talk and no buckshot. Okay. But the problem is, you're going to have one who, in the display of bravado, is going to make a mistake. You're going to have one in a display of full bravado who's going to think that they're going to be lauded for their actions. And that's where it all turns south in a hurry.
Charlottesville.
I mean, any number, all right? But the problem I have is when it is a step too far. It is when you have people hanging a governor in effigy.
Yes.
You know, what is the point of that? It is one thing to point to the governor of Michigan, who heaven knows has her own problems right now, keeping the first gentleman in line. But again, you don't need the armed, you know, don't give me this, well, it says we can form a militia, here's my militia. No, shut up. You know, because it is disproportionate to the action you're complaining about. You're complaining about the governor issuing an executive order. Then have the conversation. You want to show up? Show up. But you don't need to take it to that extreme level, because rational people on any side of the political aisle stop listening when it gets to that level. When you show up and start waving your gun and say, I was going to say waving your arms. Waving your arms is fine. Waving your guns is not, because that's when rational people say, okay, I can't talk to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, I'm not going to listen to what you're saying. You know, you hurt your own cause by doing these things. Any good that could have come in Kentucky of having a group of people saying, you're violating my rights, you're doing X, Y, and Z, whatever, you lose whatever credibility when some chucklehead decides that you're going to take an old tackling dummy and set it on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Dumb. You know, I mean, that's the problem, that the rhetoric is too hot. And it's encouraged, yes, it is stoked by people who are trying to advance their own agendas at the expense of the people who are out there doing these things, right? It's the old, and this is going to sound insensitive, and I apologize to you who have served, but it's sort of like a cavalier general being thirsty for battle because they're not going to go fight it. They're sending others to do it. It's sort of like that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it absolutely is. And I think, though, the question, though, is are we on, and I know this is kind of ethereal on this point, but are we starting to get to a point where elections just don't matter anymore? That you know, it's, you know, whether we're looking at the city of Minneapolis, where you seem to have a police department that's doing their own thing, and that the mayor and the city council don't seem to really have too much control over a police department. Or if it's these people that have said that are starting to openly speculate, well, if Trump doesn't win, and you know that we, you know, we don't know what's going to happen necessarily in November, but there is starting to become a chance that this could be a blowout for Biden. And if that's the case, and he just says, I'm not leaving, well, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are like, well, yeah, and he shouldn't leave. He gets another term. We just said it. Are we on the cusp of elections just not mattering anymore when we come to our political discussions?
He's not going to refuse to leave. That's not the question you asked, but I'm just going to say, he's not going to refuse to leave. If anything, a week after the election, he'll hand it to Pence and fly off to some island he owns so that he can avoid prosecution should the Democrats control both chambers of Congress and the White House. So in terms of him saying, I don't believe this, I'm not leaving, again, bravado without substance. As far as elections not mattering, then throw the whole country out if the elections don't matter. And I know that's hyperbole, but the point is, if elections don't have impact, notice I didn't say consequences. I don't like that phrase because it sounds too celebratory in the boxing ring after you've knocked somebody out. Elections have impact. And those who win elections have the responsibility and the chance to govern appropriately based upon the ideals they have espoused and a majority of the citizens supported. So if we don't have, I mean, if a city councilor doesn't have impact, if a mayor doesn't have impact on a city department, and I don't care if it's fire, police, sanitation, zoning, whatever, then again, something is upside down. Mm-hmm. And that can't last for long.
But you've got people who, you know, they just do not look at what's going on in this country with any kind of reality. That Trump is the greatest president of all time. He's better than the founding fathers. That he's this fantastic guy that has done so much for America. Obama gets this massive thing. I don't think it's going to take too much to get those people to think, well, yeah, it's not, you know, and as you said, it's not. Maybe sometimes this stuff starts when it's just a handful of people, but I guarantee you, you're going to have some people who are going to be, don't worry, Donald, we'll take care of those people for you. And that is, it does scare me where we're getting at, because undeniably this country seems a heck of a lot angrier than it was 6 months ago.
I always love your dumb guy Southern accent impression.
Yeah, there you go.
That's good. That's going to make a promo for sure. Is it worse than 6 months ago? I'm not sure it's worse. It was always bad. But here's the thing. A lot of these individuals who became Trump voters in 2016, who said, oh, I hadn't voted for years, or I've never voted, and this is my guy, etc. That's not terribly deep loyalty, I don't think. I mean, I think that they are willing to vote for him again because they voted for him last time. I don't think there's going to be a mass of defections. In other words, people who voted for him 4 years ago who aren't going to this time. But I don't think the attachment is necessarily to the level you're suggesting. I very well could be wrong, but I don't think it's going to be. Don't worry, Donald. We got your back on this. I think it's more a matter of what's the next shiny object for a lot of these people.
Well, and let's face it, too. I mean, it's they love him because of his insolence. And this will allow him to, you know, they can basically spoon for, you know, years to come because of how he was robbed and he was a great person. He never got credit and all these things. And, you know, as it was funny because it's as a group of people that like to point out, oh, everyone playing the victim. I've never seen a larger group of people that play the victim in my entire life. That is undeniable.
Did you just say spoon?
Spoon. Oh, they will spoon.
I don't need this image. You're yeah.
Well, it's a large, it's more of a ladle. Never mind. We'll take a break. We'll take a break. When we come on back, let's get back to Trump. And I want to talk about his fight with Twitter because I don't think he's going to win this. Jeff Stein joining us for his usual weekly visits, 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Here at Osprey Wilds on beautiful Cryonstone Lake near Sandstone, we hope you and your family are staying safe. Although our office is closed, our trails remain open to the public. Watch the sunset, listen to the birds, look for flowers, and enjoy a few moments of peace. For more information, visit OspreyWilds.org. That's OspreyWilds.org.
As an essential business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is here to help you with all your heating and cooling needs. They've also got a great deal to get you ready for summer. During May, you can save $1,900 or more on a new furnace and air conditioner and also have payments as low as $83 a month. Or ask about their 0% financing option. Find out more about these great deals at standardheating.com/AM950. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930.
Unbeatable appliance prices. Then Warner Stellion saves you an additional 5%. Exclusive savings on laundry pairs, dishwashers, French door refrigerators, and more kits and suites than you can count. Buy appliances online, by phone, or in store. And Warner Stellion guarantees your price, plus saves you 5% more. Warner Stellion's trusted delivery specialists ensure your new appliances get delivered and installed right. Shop online, by phone, or in store, and save an extra 5% from the specialists at Warner Stellion.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. By the way, once again, on Robert Pilot's show this afternoon, Lorenzo Serna, an independent journalist and filmmaker who was down at the protest yesterday. He'll be joining Robert coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Make sure you're here for that. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Jeff Stein joining us. Jeff, Twitter has decided to do something which is, you know, fairly remarkable, which is, hey, the president's lying. That mail-in ballots are not wrought with fraud, as he insists. As, you know, basically we come to light that his new press secretary has actually voted by mail 11 times in the last 10 years. What you end up having is Twitter basically finally adopting the most basic standards everyone else kind of has. You can't really get away with lying too much, but the president has been. They're just basically putting out there saying, oh, by the way, we're fact-checking this. This is not true. And Trump is acting like, how dare you? I find that this whole thing where he's trying to bend the social media companies to his will, it's fairly interesting.
The way he is responding is hurting his cause.
Yes.
But the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which was endorsed by the Clinton administration and put into effect during the second Clinton term, specifically gives these... In the old days, it was computer bulletin boards, okay? But this was designed for the AOLs of the world, who did not want to be responsible as the publishers of information. So you could be the ones who had a forum, right? AOL back in the day, right? Didn't they have forums and chat rooms and all sorts of weird stuff. And people could post things, and AOL did not want responsibility. And so the internet service providers got a provision in the law to make them like the telephone companies. They were common carriers. I'm not responsible for what's out there so long as I don't try to edit it or control it or restrain it. Twitter may have a problem if they start filtering things. And this, the president's the high profile example. If they start acting like they're monitoring content, that could lead to a problem where they then are responsible for everything that's published there. It's a fine line,
but
that has not been litigated very well.
But I will say this, and I understand what you're getting at. The reality is that when you have a president or anyone who has 20 million followers who posts something that's not factual, that Twitter themselves becomes part of the story, whether they want to or not. And them just pointing out, oh, by the way, we're going to have a fact check here. You don't have to go read it. You don't have to filter it. Because I can tell you right now, they're not filtering Twitter. I can tell you that right now.
No, but they have suspended accounts at times because of postings that violated policy. And so one has to then look at the policy. This is a minefield. And again, it has nothing to do with the president other than the fact that the power of someone with 20 million or whatever followers in a reelection campaign, it puts the spotlight on it. But it's not just as clear as the president stamps his feet and says, I'm going to get you social media guys. That's just bluster. But there really is a nugget of the law that Twitter has to be careful about. And that's the thing that somebody's going to litigate this at some point. But that's also why some additional more conservative forms have been created.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, no one wants to go in there, because obviously the defense for Twitter is going to be like, well, is this true? And they say, well, I never said it was true. Well, then it's going to, then all of a sudden they're in a more difficult spot. Sure. Memorial Day weekend, Trump spent Saturday and Sunday golfing. And I honestly think that did more damage. I mean, especially after a week of him screaming about open churches, to have 100,000 people dead of coronavirus getting into the Memorial Day weekend, and here he is photographed constantly golfing. How much do you think that hurt his imaging? I mean, it's already pretty bad right now, but I've noticed his opinion, the disapproval numbers have actually gone up for him at this point.
Disapproval numbers have gone up. What hurts him more is not that he was golfing at his own golf course, but that he did not attend church after demanding they all be
yes.
open.
Yes, he did. I will agree with that. I mean, if he would have just shown up for 5 minutes, it'd been fine, but
that's the part that's worse, frankly, I think.
I it will be interesting to see how he does kind of navigate that, because I gotta tell you the truth. I mean, most people are expecting another wave here. And if he's going to have that mindset of, I'm not going to reopen everything, or we're not going to close anything again, we're just going to keep everything open, that's, I think, going to come back and bite him again as well. So, Jeff, find his books, by the way, over at Next Chapter Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com as well. And I'll post the Iowa Politics Report a little bit later on. Jeff, thank you very much. I do appreciate it.
Who's the best? You are.
My mom doesn't even say that. We'll talk to you next week, okay? We will be back for a Thursday show. Jack Rice is going to join us tomorrow. Have a good one. Till tomorrow. See ya.